This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Lord, we thank you tonight. We appreciate you for this time. We are grateful for coming to us. Thank you for this appointment again to bring to pass that which your mother has spoken, which you have determined to do. You are committed to your intention and no one can stop it. Thank you for making it a time like this where we are part of the whole process. Thank you for what you will do again tonight in the life of your people, in our lives, on the earth, in the midst of the church. Thank you. Jesus, thank you. You want to have the custody of the will of the Father to see them done in men. Thank you. Lord, we open ourselves to you tonight. We open our hearts to you. We receive from you. Jesus, speak to us, walk in us, that which is good, which is your will, which is perfect. Walk in us all your goodwill. Let your mighty hand be seen tonight in every life, both here and everywhere they are. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that which is purposed in you in raising a great army be fulfilled in our days. Let it be an evident proof tonight that you have come to do the same work in Jesus' name. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for all the messages we have received of him in the past and that which he is committed to doing again even this year. You know, I was just thinking about that. If God has not raised Jesus, his fatherhood would have been questioned. Because it's not just father, because of Jesus, he has been father, right? He has been father in the beginning. God said 3-year record, and it's record from the beginning. The Father, the Word. So as long as the Word has been in the beginning, the Father also has been. So it's not a title he took along the line. He has been the Father. He has always been Father. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So they have been that way. We don't know their beginning. And we must not try to know the beginning. Amen. This beginning is okay for us. Okay. That's the one they wanted to know. Before this beginning was shown, all we knew that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And we were okay with it. We didn't ask for more. So if it pleased them to now say that there's another beginning before that beginning, where there was the Word, the Father, and the Holy Ghost, we are so privileged, right? So we stay there for now. Until maybe by the time we get to eternal life, then there will be showing us more beginnings. So in this beginning, it's been the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Who was the fathering? If you look at very well, the Word also is a father. Right? They are all fathers. Holy Ghost is the Father. They are all fathers. But among them is the one that carries that title, Father. And when I say there's a Father, there must be a Son. But kingdom is not complete without the Father and the Son. So it means God, from the beginning, had in mind that man will be the Son. And they knew it, that the Father had determined that a Son is going to be raised among men. So the Word has to become flesh, to be a man, so that his fatherhood can be manifested. So he's a Father, but the Son made him manifest to us. Or else it would have been difficult to comprehend a Father without a Son. The Son is the visibility of the Father. So whoever thanked Jesus and appreciated him, there must be something about that family thing that made the devil hate its full expression. There's something about it. I know that the Bible says that God made them male and female, not husband and wife, in the beginning, right? They were male and female, and we don't know how long they were like that. But the issue of God moving them to the family estate. The male and female was not family estate, it was singleness estate. So singleness preceded marriage. So your single estate is not just a passing way, it's a very carefully crafted state of your life. Because there are so many single people who are just in limbo, trying to just catch on until they step into marriage, thinking that marriage is when life begins. In our culture and system around here, they account those who are married as responsible. But I've never seen that in the Bible. Not true. So all the estates were made by God. Immediately make any mistake. So we don't know how many millions of years Adam was single and complete and fulfilled. He was not looking for my wife. He wasn't seeing that lady in that light. But the lady has been there all the while. God redefined her as wife. She had become a woman. But it was taken out of man. So it means that it is the wife that is taken out of man, not the girl. It is the woman that is taken out of man. So a girl is single. A boy is single. They are completely all are single. So it was family estate that moved God to change that estate to become husband and wife. There's something about the family. There's the wisdom of God about the family. It's an ancient wisdom that made God to be a father. When he has not seen a son, when he has not begotten a son. So the enemy saw that that came to be. Within a short time, that space was no more long anymore. And that was when time began. No time began after the fall, right? When you're counting how many years they live, it's after the fall. Not before the fall. Adam lived 930 years and he died. That's the life after the fall. Not before the fall. So immediately he saw that God moved them to family status. He can't stick it. He had to ensure that they were brought down from fulfilling what God had in mind. Because in their fall, they couldn't anymore fulfill what God had in mind for the family. Because the family is not just husband and wife having children. There's something in the mind of God. When I say, and God bless them. And said, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say multiply. He first of all blessed them. So it means that you are not supposed to multiply until you are fruitful. So fruitfulness is not having more. It's not having more. So a man is not fruitful because a man has four children. So it's fruit. It doesn't mean it's fruit. He has only multiplied. And so fruitfulness is not the same thing as multiplication. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So the whole thing is, and subdue it. It means if they are not fruitful, they are not supposed to multiply. If they multiply without being fruitful, they can't replenish the earth. And they won't be able to subdue it. So being able to replenish the earth and subdue it is attached to that first thing. Be fruitful. Then multiply. After the fall, they started multiplying without being fruitful. So the family that God had in mind had been hacked down. The strength of dominion, the strength to replenish the earth, the strength to subdue the earth has been hacked down. Why? They were not fruitful before they began to multiply. If they have been fruitful when they were made, God, it was there and God blessed them. It was when they were made, they were not yet fruitful, or they have not attained to their age. Or their full age. For example, in the human world, a boy of 14 years or sometimes even today, 13 years or 12 years, can sleep with a girl of 9 years and have a child. I didn't know that. Because in today's world, a child of 9 years is already biologically mature. A boy of 12 years is biologically mature. Those children have not attained to the full age of their full development naturally. The same way man has his natural full development, so also he has his spiritual full development. A son has two status. He has his full age of development and he has his full age of completeness. Full age of development. We call that one mature, maturo. Hebrews chapter 5. Therefore, when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Is what? Is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are what? That full age is not full sonship. That's Christ's age. Christ's age. That's a perfect man. That's full age. But it's not yet complete, right? So that's him, Jesus, who was Christ, also still went ahead and learned obedience, right? But the things which he suffered and became perfect. Can you say? And became the author, being made perfect. He was being made perfect. This perfection is not like the form of a perfection of full age. This is completeness, okay? A all-rounded being. Not wanting nothing, not lacking anything. Complete. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. So God did not allow Jesus to go to the cross until he attained to that age. So that age is called age of fruitfulness. What does it mean? He can be got after his kind. Adam couldn't raise his kind. All the sons of Adam were lesser than him. Paul, Abel. Abel was lesser than Adam. He has a testament. Adam is higher than Abel. And from there, you can begin to see, they began to depreciate. Why? Because the man, the father who begat them, had fallen from glory. And it's no more, he couldn't attain to that perfectness. Being made, so Jesus knew what he was looking for. Though he was already a son, he didn't stop there. He still learned obedience. He learned obedience because he knew that what God had in mind was a full man that will produce entities that can replenish the earth. I can further the cause and the kingdom of his father. Say amen. Amen. He became. I like that one. He became. So he was not born. He became the author of eternal salvation. So today somebody can be born again and receive salvation with eternal glory. Why? Because the one who begat him was made complete son. Can you see that? So he's an author of what? Of eternal salvation. The essence of family is to generate, to progenate after their kind. That's the essence of the family. So, the devil knew that a human family is going to emerge on the earth here. That's going to do that, and it means that his kingdom is going to be short-lived. If the sons are raised, his kingdom will not continue. He quickly looked for how to ensure that they were brought down by all means, and he achieved it. But we thank the Lord that God raised his son back to show us how a family should look like. So there we have the father and his son. Not the father and his sons, the father and his son. And that is the hope that we can become sons. The fellowship of the father and his son is the hope that we have, that we can become sons. So we thank Jesus for giving us back that model family. Or else it would have been difficult to retrace our step. We would have just stayed in our estate, marking our answer script. Me, I've tried. Everybody has tried. But when they mark your answer script, maybe you got 15 over 100. It's an effort made, right? Say, hey, man. Yeah. But the scorecard is low. It means the enemy will keep on furthering his agenda and man will be put under forever. As long as that goes on, then God as a father stays in heaven. He has no son. If you can't take me as a son, I will ensure you have no one. I gave myself free to you as a son. You say, we don't want me. Is that not his desire? I will exalt my throne about the throne of God. And I will be like the Most High. Is that not? That's what he wants. So he was giving God a free pass. God, I'm available. Just make me a son. And also, it's not given to angels to desire that. From eternity, for every purpose, that is man. That is man's ordination to be my son. Hallelujah. So we thank the Lord for the gospel. The gospel is beautiful because it's not an invention. You can trace it back to where it began. It began all the while. Only now it's being made manifest in our days. Hallelujah. Okay. Psalm 127, 128. So except the Lord build a house, the labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wicked but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. This psalm the past 2 years has been a revolutionary psalm for me. Psalm 127, 128. Give back to the order of restoration of the kingdom family. Amen. This time, we'll just read this psalm when they are building a house, right? Anytime somebody is opening a house or anything like that, it's an automatic psalm. I want to believe that Psalm 127 and Psalm 28 are joined together. That was just separated in dividing the psalms. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are... Eh? So it's clear the father is not going to fight any enemy. Fighting enemies put in the care of sons. So enemies will keep on prevailing as long as there's no son. Hallelujah. Happy is the man that heart is quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. So what is that? What is about building a house and children and an arrow in the hand of a mighty man? What's the connection? They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Psalm 128 now. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor. Labor again is coming. The labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by thy size, or by the size of thy house. Thy children, like olive plant, round about thy table. That thirst, this is the manner, that the man be blessed. And he blessed them. This is the manner. When they are blessed, this is how you see their life. This is the expression of blessedness. Thirst, that thirst shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. This man that feareth the Lord, that can labor. Is that what it says? 128, can you see? For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. So that man labor. And it was the man they are talking about in 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor. So it's not actually a house, it's not a physical house they are building, it's a family they are building. This family consists of the man, his wife, and children. So it means that the house that is blessed has to be built. There's a building process, there's a building mandate that God has in mind. So why God said, I will build my church? The gate of hell will not prevail. Actually speaking, he has the manners that in the churches that is blessed are families. So as you build church, also families have been built. You can't say that you are building church, families are not built. You are building ministry, and it's not church. If you're building a church, say we are building the church, we are building the people, and families have not been built, then that is not the Lord's building. So it's a vain labor. It's a vain labor. When you build the house and the house is not generating the building of families, then it's a vain building. So everybody, there's everybody who doesn't believe that I need to invest in my family. I need to build my family. Every man, I want to build my family. I have passion for my family. I love my children. I love my family. An average man loves his family, right? You can only say anybody who marry say, I don't like my family. Before he will turn his head after 3 years, first of all, he loved the family. And he wants to build the family. Only that he doesn't know how families are being built. So it depends on vain things to build the family. That's why he wakes up early, sit up late. So what does it mean? He thinks that anymore, that's why he's waking up early. That's why he's sitting late. An average man, for example, does not know why his wife is not, I've tried my best. Yeah. This woman is an ingrate. I have lived my life. But let's ask him, how did you labor? What were you investing? What was your investment on? I've seen men that end up with stroke. When they saw what their family, what their labor became after many years. Average man, the vision of a family, the vision of a blissful home. The day I met you, I had a dream in my mind. I had a word in my mind. But the word, the dream collapsed. Why did it collapse? He didn't find out from the very builder. Man is not the builder. God is the builder of the family. The builder of all things is God. Man is not the builder. That's why he says there, except the Lord, keep the city. Now, city is a product of houses built. Built houses from city. So, the Lord, except the Lord, keep the city. Or except the Lord has built and keep. Because the process of keeping requires, first of all, building. That's why I say, this is the way you're going to put my blessing upon the children of Israel. The Lord bless thee. And what? Then the Lord make his face to shine upon you. That old blessing is the Lord bless thee and keep. That's finished. He was now interpreting the process. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. That's the procedure. So if the Lord keep the city, the Lord has already blessed the first. So the Lord has blessed the labor before he can keep the city. So as the Lord himself is the builder of the city. Is the builder of the house. But most of us, we have our dream. Our dream for the house. And we feel we can always build the house. And we're going to connect to every supply of vanity to ensure the house is built. He now says it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. But he giveth his beloved sleep. Now, those who build these houses actually were at rest. It was in their sleep. You know what he did for Adam? He caused Adam to have a deep sleep. That's why those who have the best of wife and those who slept. Yes, God has to give you a passing time. There's the first urge. Everyone, you see, it looks like it. When your eyes are catching everything, you are not sleeping. You are active. And if they allow you to go ahead, you will catch wind. So if God loves you, what will he do for you? Shut it down. They will inoculate you. The pastor will say, go and rest. On this matter, don't raise it with me again. You will go back, sir. He wants to force you to sleep. Because families were brought in from the dead. He didn't raise his son till he died. It's after he died, he raised him from the dead. That was where he raised his wife. So wives are given from the dead. Rest together with Christ. He made them to sit together with Christ. It's from the dead to sitting. Because even my effort is not needed. Your smartness is not needed. The visions in your mind is not needed. An average man has a vision in his mind, right? But every male man has vision. And the funny thing is that the vision does not stay long. His vision doesn't stay long. That's why I say, once you point to one, go and take a step now. Because in 2 years, you'll change your mind. You start slowing down. So what's going on? I'm just praying about it again, sir. No, you can't pray about it again. If you are taking the first step, you are taking... Because a man can change his mind 10 times. His vision is short-lived. When it comes to feminine vision, it doesn't stay long. At first, it's this size he wants. Very soon, not that much size anymore. He wants to get the more. He wants this one the more. Truly, God made it like that. God made it in the upper cerebral of a man. What is there is feminine. It's not a book. That's why everything about sexuality about him is what he sees. He can't but see. So Jesus cannot even condemn him for saying. Jesus cannot say he has sinned by sin. Anybody who looked on the woman to lust, he has to add the other one to it. Why? The man is a born looker. You know what I'm saying now? So if they allow him to use that thing he has, it will spoil the whole world. The energy is too much. What would they do? Make him sleep. So that he can disable some of those things. So when it comes up, he will say, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. And for the next 20 years, he has not changed his mind. He still remains the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. If God is going to do that on, then there's need for a building process. So a house is built. The house, family is the house. And the builder is God. Now, he won't build without a man that can cooperate with him in the building. But man is not the builder, God is the builder. So if a man can get to a point to surrender to God in the building process, then he will not labor in vain. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hand. So it's the labor of his hand, it's his labor. But it was actually God's labor that he gave to him after the Lord gave him sleep, the sleep of the beloved. That is to make him cease from his labor. There's need for us to cease from our labors. The vision of God for the family is very high, very high. And that's what we're looking at, this very high vision. You can't attain it by yourself. And that's why every effort you put in, we might. So blessed is every man, not everyone, there's every man that fear the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hand, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. I think you're that man I'm talking about. It shall be well with thee. I said, shall be well with thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this verse. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children of the same order. It means that you will progenite beyond your generation to the next and next. And that's why if God could raise Jesus as son, I can't raise us. God has not succeeded.
Because the blessing is upon children and children's children. It must come upon Jesus and his sons. That's why it says its greatest desire is to bring many sons to glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect. So it means that if he can't generate sons to glory, there is no perfect. For it became him whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make. So there's a perfection that Jesus cannot claim he already has, though he has been perfected, but to be shown if he can raise the house. Can he generate sons after his order? Praise God. That's why heaven is committed. How did they do it? Sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. And the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. So if he's sitting, they will see sending. There are sons who are the rod of his strength sent out of Zion to rule in the midst of his enemies. God tied like that. So Jesus will sit thou at my right hand until I make. It means there's more to Jesus than right hand. So right hand is an operation to use for a time. Sit thou at my right hand until. I make thy enemies. Until I raise many sons that will make your enemies your footstool. I won't allow you to do it by yourself. Your prosperity is that it must be on children and children's children. So if God tied to it, there is a must. If it's a must, if it's not done, then it means the age cannot be closed. Jesus will not be able to enter into his full glory. Because the job is use my right hand to raise many sons. Thy people shall be willing in the day of your power. In the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Use the moon to raise children, right? Thou hast the deal of thy youth. So I see at this time, God's commitment to see that we know how he labor in building. So we can cooperate with God to build. Families don't just emerge. Families are built. It's not just a man marry and have children. That family is not yet the way it should be. Families are built. It's labor of the spirit to build a family. Just like your church is laboring to build a church. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So if Jesus is building churches, what is in churches are families. Even when he starts, for example, it doesn't look like it's family because we came in as the first order or first harvest of church. We came in from different homes, right? Single from here, single from there, here and there, came in from different families. But very soon, they'll start marrying. But you see, God's might is not first of all about we enjoying the marriage. Our interest is to enjoy the marriage. God has high stake for us. It's just, I shouldn't be single. I just know this house is, I need a lady in this house. I'm even from home, I'll be calling you. Benga, is it not enough to bring a wife 5 years in Lagos? They will mention your friend who are at home. What matter? So somewhere you just feel like you're out of place. All my mates are just, I need to get married. Then automatically when you get married, next is we have their children. Right? Then we have our family. The next is how do I enjoy my family? I want to be a good husband, be a good wife. This matter is more than being a good wife, good husband. What's on ground, sir? That's why we struggle on that area so much and achieve little. Not knowing that there's somebody who has an intention Who has what is called? And like what it says is in Revelation chapter 4. The angel said, is it the beast that said it? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. You are the one looking for pleasure. God wants pleasure. God made all things for his pleasure. And for his pleasure, they are and were created. And you know the first institution that God made after making man is marriage. I feel that after the affair, God should dissolve that marriage. He didn't dissolve it though. Sin didn't dissolve the marriage. But the hope is still tied to it. There's a future tied to that marriage. But he didn't say my wife. He said the woman you gave to me. From his own standpoint, that woman is not my wife anymore. It's the woman. It's not my wife. You know when your wife does something that you don't like? Say this woman. You're this woman. Or you call her name. Something has gone back. I'm saying that. But then, sweetheart. He's telling you that, but we are putting stress on my commitment. The wife you gave to me is the one who gave me the fruit and I had. God knew he didn't know what he was talking about. Once a man is under prayer, man can't withstand prayer. When your dad says, sweetheart, that's okay, please, at that point, please stop it, okay? You can raise it again that time. A man's system can't handle that prayer. For you, you have not heard. Oh, the ball, he has said. In fact, he's already under a high BP already. That thing you have said already, BP at the high. But because he didn't talk. Sweetheart, the bong on the muscle. Oh, the ball. It's not for a man to hear. It's not difficult. Oh, the ball. He's thinking about it. If he's not hearing it later, after some time, sweetheart, what I said before, they don't keep on saying it. When you say it over and over, you put stress on him. And he'll start speaking in tongues. What did they mean? A woman can go through stress. Push her, press her. She's not changing her mind. He's still my husband. It's my husband. Boy, a woman can change back to the name and say, Daniel. So the man is under prayer, labor. Come on, say labor. So they have to teach us how to labor with God. Call labor with God. Because God is at rest. So he has to take to his own rest. So you can know exactly how he build in rest. I wonder about the building of God's house is that when he's building the house, there must be no noise. That's the amount of time when we are growing, when there are building us inside, things around us will look still. And that stillness can only affect things we like. The stillness can affect what we just go still. Nothing will work anymore. It's the stillness they are building inside. You take your pastor or the stand up and say, oh, don't mind. You are growing. Because when they are walking on the side, there must be no noise. On the temple of Solomon, his instruction was given clearly. On that temple site, whatever is going to happen with the cutting of the stone should happen on the quarry. Once stones are brought down here, you don't use tool on it. You connect it. So building's process go on in our connection to God. When we are connected in relationship with God and we maintain it, then the grace to build starts flowing to us. God has the utmost intention and commitment to build the family. God wants your family built. He needs it. It's his pleasure. It's his intention. He has more stake there than you. I say God has more stake in your family than you. That's why no matter how things have gone bad, you still see God still got me around here to make a lot of commitments, instructions, not to let go. Before we give up on the house and say, that's why in the house, when things are under prayer in church, we don't quickly say, no matter what go on, we don't approve divorce easily. Why? God's commitment is in that place. Because that thing that happened, either as unbeliever or it happened in the shrine, once it's committed of a man and a woman, once a man and a woman connect in agreement in marriage, it's holy. Heaven sanctioned it, and they are looking for how to invade it. That's why they go and save their children in on campus and bring them back home there. And so the daughter or the son, the man will be converted, the woman will be converted. They are bringing light there. There's something at stake in every family. Value the family. Value the family. Value your family. It's a sanctified estate. That's why the average Jewish community value family. Up to today, Jews, family is not ordinary to them. Because everything that God put upon their fathers were on the families. They were the church. But the church of their days were family estate. So God wants the family to project from generation to generation. So sons begat sons, and sons begat sons. And God will say, this house is blessed. If you can raise sons, and the next day can raise sons, there's a blessed family. It's a family that is accounted to fear the Lord. So, can you see the way language of fear the Lord is not what we know? If a family cannot raise sons, it's not accounted to fear the Lord. So, for a man to fear the Lord, he's blessed. He's blessed with capacity to build. Why? God is a builder. And that's why every one of us must be committed to the building process. Say amen.
Amen.
Thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. That's a sign that the labor is done. The sign is that children's children must arrive at abundance of peace. They must come to the space where peace becomes the stake in their midst. Now one son wants to kill the other one. Yeah. They must arrive at the place where divine order is sustained in that family. That's a lot of investment. It's not cheap to do that. It's not cheap to achieve that. It's not mere. It's not simple. And the people who would do that with God must be aware of it. That's why God has to send Jesus to come and show the architecture of actually how to fulfill that. Because it's a lot of passion of heaven to go through that process of running the race to achieve, to get the place where an army is raised that has the banner. Actually, the banner is, you know, is first of all, it's love. But then it becomes two banners. When you finish, when you span the banner of love, they will give you two banners. That's the banner of life and banner of everlasting life. So you can see that one thing is at stake here. Verse 3. Thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by thy side of thy house. Thy children shall be like olive plant round about thy table. Journey to arrive at table. That the father, for that father to have a table is a journey. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So that is the journey of every individual, which starts from the father. So the father is the builder. Every man must know how to build. It's the table of the father, which actually appears as the Lord in Psalm 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What's the next thing? He maketh so that psalm is finished. I shall not lack. Or I shall be complete. Or I shall be fruitful. I shall be qualified to multiply. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall be blessed. I shall not want that I will be blessed. If I'm blessed, I'll be fruitful, right? Then I'll be able to multiply. Psalm 23. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Who is this one? The Father. Who wants to go on the journey to recover the material for building? Because you have to have a copy of how to build. You can't build if you don't have a pattern. You don't have a structure of how you should build. So it means nobody will get there if it's not under the lordship of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Then he restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What's the next thing? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What's the next thing? Thou preparest a table before me. So for the father himself, he must have journeyed to a place where he has been invited to a table in the presence of his enemies. You know that when God is raising us, he raised us and he tried to attack our enemy. I'm talking about it. That's when you pray, you come against this, come against that, fast fighting against my family. That's a level. At another level, they want to get to the point where they can raise you and place a table before you in the presence of the enemies. Because they want to move to a place where enemies cannot access. The journey of receiving the grace or the labor of God in building the family. What Jesus Christ got that he gave to the apostles is how God built a house. No one could have been able to raise any son if Jesus did not open the way. He became a man, not because he needed to become a man. He became a man to open the way to show us how a man can journey to God and obtain the testament of how man will be raised. So today in the gospel, what do I have in the gospel? Provision of blessedness. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly place, where? In Christ. So Christ had inherited blessings in heavenly places that can use that to raise man who was not come to heavenly place. Say, amen.
Amen.
Now, what Christ did for us, every man must get the copy. You can't build if there's no plan. If you don't get the copy, you will build in vain. You will leave the master plan and use other plans to build. The way you are there, let me tell you, we all have other master plan handed to us. That's why when there's need in your family, you know what to do. You don't come to the pastor. It's only when it is not working, you come to the pastor. You deploy what you have. Because you have something. Either from your forefathers, you have something. Abi, from your traditions, you have something. From your environment, you have something. From your profession, you have something. From your learning, you have something. So when you are at the verge of a need, you will deploy it. You can see this man I'm talking about here. A man, which is first of all Christ himself. That has to be you now. Before he can get the place, when they will say, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Then I will dwell in the house. And that was that my house shall become part of the house of the Lord forever. My house will be integrated as part of the house of the Lord forever. Because every family is supposed to be integrated as part of the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord does not contain anybody's name. It is we that make ourselves part of that house. That house is an open shack that contains all men, but we are supposed to put ourselves in that house. A time comes when you have a table. Now, every father has the primary duty of nourishment. Is that not true? And every father feels he hosts the household, his provision. Now, most of the time we feel provision more than protection. But protection is first. To defend your household is number one. Because a house that's protected, you can feed. A strong one will break into your house if your house is not kept. So we have a sense of feel that the first thing we owe our household is to provide nourishment. But it's not true, it's to provide security. That's why your wife should be by thy side. Huh? That is a sign of protection. They say, hold her with your left. What does it mean? You can use your right hand to defend her. You can walk with your right hand. It's not the wedding fair. Just hold her by the hands. No, it's telling that it's not going to be behind you. It should be by your side. They should offer her, first of all, protection. Once you protect her, then her children will be protected. Children, first of all, feel vulnerable when their mother is exposed. Once you expose the mother, the children can't trust you. It means you can't protect us. That's the end of it. So the first evidence of protection is that you protect your wife. Then you provide. So provision is what the first thing we feel we need. And that's true. We need to provide for our children. That's why we are father of bread. Jesus said it. Who among you being evil? You know how to give good gift to your children. Who of them will ask for bread? You give him a stone. Or will ask for fish? You give him what? Scorpion. Or will ask for egg? You give him what? Serpent. So if you've been evil, know how to give good gift to your children. How much more your Father in heaven? So it means that your Father in heaven also give bread. Also give fish, right? Also give egg. But it doesn't give your kind. He has no bread. So, if you are a father and all you give is natural feeding, they say you are evil. Why are you evil? You are not building them. You are building their body. You are not building their real essence. Because they are not body. They are spirits. They are souls. So, a father who cannot build spirit and soul, it's the father who is evil, or it's the father who has not been blessed. So the symbol of being blessed to a father is being able to provide both natural and also spiritual. That's why he's a father of both flesh and father of spirit. So this man is blessed because he has a table. The table is not just table for food, for natural food, but also table for spiritual meal. Many of us here, before we reach age of 10, we had overgrown our father's meal. They force feed us. You know how they force feed us? In the devotion, you don't like to be devotion. You must attend, sir. And you must not sleep. If you sleep, they give you wire. So you attend devotion, you forcefully attend devotion. It means they are no more feeding you in their house, right? At most, if you are born again, you go to church to be fed. You know your meal is no more in that house. Like I tell parents in church, I said, your home altar is not a place to yab your children. If you have issues with them, yabbing is not feeding. You don't build like that. So most of us, before 10 years, we had outgrown. They forced us to stay there. Till when you are free to go to university. Ah. But in God's mind, God expects the children, until they become olive plant, the table should still be relevant. Our families is not a small place. God is just trying to keep the children from stealing. The thank God is they are no more stealing these houses anymore. No. They have a target. The same way your pastor here has a vision that there should be sons raised to God in this house. So also a father should have a target that the children will be on campus and they would like to connect to the house meeting and they will be calling him. Joining the house. To feed from the house. Why? Because their life has been nourished from the home. They have enjoyed building from the house.
Let's Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For the safety of the generations coming lies on the table. The table is the keeper of your children. And the table is also the destroyer of them. For your enemy have moved tables into families. And from there serve meals that chase your children away. That made them not to be gathered together. They are feeding, but they are scattered. They are feeding, but they are scattered all over the places. Their souls are not gathered. Oh man, journey. To be able to receive the table that is customized for your house. For there is a table that your house should possess. And it is for you to receive it. It is for you. It is your job as the man to receive it. It is your job as a man to have even the table of your house. For that is the most important thing in your family. And if it's not there, you don't have a family. You don't have a house. You labor in vain. You labor in vain. You are not a co-laborer with God. So we are bringing light. We are helping you. We are strengthening you. We are giving you help. Help in this season to be able to capture, to be able to receive, to be able to have even the table that have you as the sharer of bread. There, I see the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
We're talking about expectation, but we are not there, right? Most homes are not there. Everyone in church is supposed to connect to at least a family. You don't have to live in the family to be part of the family. Everybody connect, at least you must be under a family. The family leader should oversee that soul. Which family do you belong to? You just find out that 30 people belong to a family. What if another family only 2 belong to there? Because they have a free choice to choose family they want to belong to. You know what I'm saying? Now, why would they say family? Why would a family have just only 2? They don't believe they can be fed there. They don't have a trust of being fed there. There ought to be tables in many other places that people want to connect to and say, want to feed from your family. Why? Because the table has been developed. There's bread on the table. Every priest must have bread. So the perception of church has to change from just you being part of church, being a group in church, find a group in church, but at home you are not functional. When it comes to bread, you don't have bread to give. Now, you don't have to be a teacher or be an apostle, but should be able to teach. Every father is a teacher. Every father is an instructor. That's why we read that place, Hebrews said, why you ought to be teachers. You need that some teach you. Again, you ought to be teachers, that you are a teacher by gift of Christ. It means that the state of being able to teach what they have taught you, it's a sign that you have learned. If you can't teach what they have taught you very well, you have not learned. Paul said, commit the word to those who can teach others. Now, Paul was talking to Timothy, who Paul has taught. Commit to others. Paul taught Timothy that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, that's followers. So you say, father to children, to children's children. So blessing is transferred from father to children's children. 4. If you can't reach 4, then there's not yet prosperity. Solomon said, my father taught me. I was taught by my mother. As busy as David was as a king, he still had time to teach. Now, when you teach, you master what you have learned. That's why in the school, those organized tutorials are always better. Some guys, it's not that they're too brilliant, but they are bold. Some of them learn what they are just teaching you as they are teaching you. Some of them don't read. They only do tutorials. So they are learning what they are saying, and you think that they know everything. No, they don't know everything. Audacity to preach is audacity to learn. Because you hardly say jargon, so you will think of what to say. So your thinking capacity is enlarged because you want to teach somebody else. So once you recline from teaching, you can learn. An assumption is the least form of knowledge. Yeah, I understand what pastor taught. Who told you understand it? Say it, let's hear you. You don't understand? Say it, let's hear you. Then we'll know you understand it. The way you say somebody has learned or has mystery of faith is that it's apt to teach. Guys in the house here, it's a duty for you to know how to share bread. It's a duty. Any man cannot do it, it's not worth to marry. Why? I can't build a family. I didn't say, come and share revelation. I said, share what pastor said. Say again what pastor said with your mouth. House is not built by assumption. House is built by feeding. That's why every home must have resource house where they feed. You must have a place that you feed from. You can't hold banner if you have not been fed. That's why in Song of Solomon chapter 1 says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Not kisses of the lip, kisses of the mouth. And when you kiss with the mouth, you give water. Isn't that water you give? There's water contact. So every man must receive kisses of the mouth. Jesus must kiss to say, amen. Christ must kiss you. Yes. The anointing upon your pastor must kiss you. Yes. And it must be many kisses. Yes. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. If you have been married and you are not that way, that is what you should be. In the past, we have not taught church like that. We taught church by just having some few people who are sound. And they come and teach the rest. And we don't come to evaluate if they have learned. Ministry can go on, and people are not being built. It doesn't need all of us here. It needs a few of us here. Pastor is who sent the message, and five other brothers. You can see what pastor say and lead prayer. Everyone will be fire. Fire. Aye, 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 aye. So that is ministry. That's not family. In family, every soul must be accounted for. That's why they have name. When you get the family, you mention name. I like the fact that when Jesus Christ went to Jerusalem, there was no name. When he got to the house of his friend, what's his name? Lazarus. He met two sisters. What's their name?
Mary
and Martha. So in a half family house, there's a name. There are names. Everybody has an identity. Why? Because a project is going on in every person. That must be accounted for. I don't want to see fire in church. I want to see fire burning your house. Because when they gave the Holy Ghost, they gave it upon every head. They didn't look for the few of them there and put it on their head and say, the rest, lead them. They put on every head. So every head should carry fire. Philip, he has how many daughters? All of them prophesy. Prophesy. House may can become another Holy Ghost center. How would you and I go out and misbehave easily? Even if their soul is wired, fear would not allow them. Sometimes, you don't know where the children pick their soul from. Sometimes we give back to naughty souls. But when the Lord is upon their head, that soul will be under control. He wants to do it, he can't do it. Why? The Lord is in the house. Let's bring the Lord from the church to the house. As he's Lord in this place, let him be Lord in every family. Let it be Lord in every household. So the church, the house project is a massive project that Jesus wants to enjoy from. Jesus wants to enjoy your house. The angels wants to like your house. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Let's see verse 6. Look not upon me because I am black. Because the sun had looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept. And that was my own vineyard. You know, every house leader, they call it husband man. That word us, come on, say husband. There's a time you are a father. But you can't be a good father if you're not first born a husband. Our father is an husband man, right? He's a father, an husband man. An husband is a garden owner or a farm owner. We have here, we have vineyard. The general church is vineyard, right? Departments. And you can be functional there and not have kept your own vineyard. Your children should eat first from your own vineyard. Lest when they just come to church, they eat from the general vineyard and stay with another vineyard. You know what it means? When they are going to home, their heart is in that family. But when they were in church, they were in the group of that man who has blessed them tremendously, and they don't believe in your vineyard anymore. But my own vineyard have I not kept. Your wife will eat first from your vineyard. Tell me, O thou, whom thou, my soul, lovest, where what? Where thou feedest? Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon? For why should I be as one that turneth aside? How should I be wondering? I should know where my pastor feed. I should know where the pastors here feed. I should learn the way of the Spirit. And learn how they are supplied. Church should be, after some years, joint edification. At first of all, God give a gift that should reach to all of us. As we grow up, we still honor the gift, but it also feeds from us. Pastors, you sit down there and somebody come up here and talk and he's fed from it. So he also needs to feed. You don't need that. I'm in church all the time. I don't have all the time to do all streaming. So if I'm not being fed in church, I'm in trouble. So I tell pastor, when I go to church, I don't go to church as a pastor. I go to church as a member. When they are praying, me also pray. I don't cross-legged. No. And dry out. I also pray. Whatever they do, I do. They dance, I dance. And first of all, a bro. They pastor. So if you are a pastor first, you are a bro. Everybody will do fine. They feed from you, you feed from nobody. As you visit your family, and there's meeting going on there, and I sit down, and I'm being blessed. And I'm nodding my head, wow, yes, yes, yes. You don't have to say the way I say it. You say it your own way. Hallelujah. The pattern of the New Testament church is another pattern entirely speaking. That's why you see the church changing from Acts to the epistle, from the epistle to early epistle to the later epistle. The church order changes. At the time, it becomes a garden. And a garden is the streets that define a garden. Those who began as small children have become trees over the years. So everybody must grow. How do they grow? By feeding. And when they feed, they will not know where the feed come from. If you eat from one mama put, maybe they bite to you every time. And you eat from it. One day you will say, let me know where they are bring that food from. Is that not true? You won't be satisfied not to eat the food without knowing where it come from. You want to know the source of the food. If thou know not, thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps. Come on, say footsteps. So you learn footsteps of those who offer the food. You learn their footstep by the footsteps of the flock. And feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. I have compared thee, oh my love, to a company of horses. Horses, what are horses for? Horses are for race. It means you feed to develop capacity to run race. To run race of love. A man who has run race of love with Jesus for some time can't be tired of his woman. Do you know why you get tired of a woman? When you race after Jesus, you will see seasons. There are seasons he will hide himself. You look for him, you won't see him. He's just hiding. You want to see? Can you seek more? Can you seek more? There are seasons like that one. You as if everywhere is everywhere. There's no move of the Holy Ghost. You pray, there's no feeling. You have not sinned. He has hid himself. That's how lovers does. Can you stay more? Can you sing more? When you sing, when there's no feeling of singing. And sometimes you go to church and they sing. They know they enter. You make music by yourself. You had your clap. That's how they seek. That's how they run after the groom. And many of us, you come to church, you enjoy church. Music is going on. The day somebody take the worship that's not in the way you like it. You have not learned how to seek. When you are not moved by the Holy Ghost, you're moving the Spirit. What are you doing? You are looking for your Lord. You are moving yourself to connect to the Spirit. Because you know He's there. He's somewhere there. He's only hiding from you. And the Lord likes to hide from His lovers. To check how far can you seek? How far can you run?
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Kapropradilia dagarata na kalia brotania. Ekoprovara kataskavo brudonoshtia tania. We are feeding you. We are feeding you. We want to feed you for a journey. We want to feed you for a certainty in your heart. We want to feed you for you to be able to come away with us.
Yeah.
Oh, we want to feed you for you to climb and seek and come to places of seeking to know, to come and see us, to come and know us. For you are not just called to come and enjoy service, to come and enjoy church. It's the journey of love. It's the journey to seek and to know even your love. To know the one, your lover. Only you can describe him because he has revealed himself to you in the season of your seeking. You have come to know his true color. You have come to know him. He is revealed to your soul. Oh, it is time for everyone to be set on this race.
Yeah.
It's time by the meal we are feeding you with. We want to put race on your feet for you to run, for you to run, for you to run, because he is not a man. He's not a man that you can predict. He's the journey of love. He's unpredictable. You can't predict him. You can't predict him. He will search if you truly love him.
Yeah.
If you truly want him.
Yeah.
If you truly love him, he will search it out.
Yeah.
If what you love is instruments, it will search it out. If what you love is keyboard, it will search it out. If what you love is just the singer, it will search it out. It will find you out. It will find you out. Oh, he wants to take you on the journey before he will commit himself to you.
Say the
Spirit.
Amen. So he doesn't just give you table just like that. But they can commit him to you. It will take you to journey. The Lord wants to be sure that you are following him because of one thing, life. They must settle that score that the only reason why you are following him is because of his life. Not because of any other thing he has. I like this chapter 1. It's what introduction of Solomon on the journey of Shulamite. In pursuit of a lover. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewel, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with stud of silver. While the king sits seated at his table, my spikenard sends forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me, and shall lie all the night between my breast. My breast is the place of supply. My beloved is unto me as cluster of campfire in the vine of Engedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eye. Dove's eye is a eye of harmlessness. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. And our fellowship is for life. The only reason why we are together is for life. It's not just for a moment. It's for life. Say amen. I'm saying how they commit tables to the man that feared the Lord. They must take the man on the journey of pursuit of life. It is what you have that you give. And what your household need is life. So you must journey and be ready to run and flee away from every uncertainty as long as the need calls for you to flee. In that book, one thing that is common as we check it in SOS is flee. And that word is it's like elope. Until the daybreak and the shadow flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of bitter. And the shadow flee. Shadows is uncertainties. Things that look like, that is not. Things that are sometimes distracting. They look promising, but it's not real. So what they want is that a time comes when you can run away with him. From every other distraction, that is when he commits himself to us. That's how we really know him the way he really is. Because it takes that. That's why sometimes religious people have prayer with family. A very, very self-disciplined man have prayer with children. Because what makes children, what makes family is not really those things, it's life. What your wife is looking for is life. He wants life. And that's why women love Jesus, most of them more than men. Why? Because they lack the love. That's why I say, husband, love your wife. Huh? It is the wife, love your husband. So a woman wants love. But sometimes men don't know. And love is in life. When you lay down your life, one day one of the way to communicate love is lay down your life. Because your life is in your love. Or your love is in your life. Jesus loves us. What did he gave himself? So love is transmitted when he laid down his life. So love is not your grammar. Love is not your explain. Love is in lay down your life. I've gained that life, you can't lay it down. So what we do with Jesus when he can take us on a loop is that he gives us life that you can lay down. Then love can be made manifest. Every man is commanded, love your wife. Why they command every man? Because it's not natural that every man can lay down his life. Every man wants to have his life. So they don't give a command them, love your wife. They let the woman, wife, submit to her husband. What a woman they cannot do easily is to submit. That's why a woman learns submission over time. Huh? I went to the hospice. So when you marry her in 2 months, don't ask submission. Give her time. Sometimes months, sometimes years. The more she age, the more she learns submission. I went to the hospice. Then with the man also, he needs time to learn love. Every man is first of all selfish. Together. The way to make your, the way to get the best of your life is you lay down. You got the best of your wife is to lay down. Lay down. Look at how to make her happy. Making her happy makes you happy. When you want to be happy, you'll never get it. You are looking for what is not lost. When you give it, you get it back. So satisfaction is in laying down. When you lay down, you get satisfied. When you want it, you won't get it. It will be running from you. Say, hey, man. Are you blessed tonight here today? Bless the Lord. I appreciate the Lord for this evening. Give him praise and thanks to him. Thank him. Let's thank him.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeosinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.